Hello, everyone, and welcome to He Hears Even the Cricket in the Corner. I'm Cricket Douglas here with Samuel Emmanuel, and we have something very special for you all today. We're very thankful that you will be joining us in our six-part series of Putting on the Full Armor of God. And Sam picked this title. And so, Sam, can you explain to us about why you chose this title?
Well, recently I've been looking in a little deeper to what the armor of God is, because I know when I had first heard about this, I was probably 5 years old or something. It's just something in Sunday school that we'd talk about, and, you know, they had little songs and sometimes put on little things of armor to represent each of these things. But it's been a long time since I thought back to this. And even with my young adult group, we're looking into discussing this. So that's kind of what brought me back to looking into it. And it is like we live in a world where every day can be a little battle that we got to go into. And so I wanted to make sure that I looked into it to make sure that I am wearing the armor of God, and what does that look like, and how can we catch ourselves and see where we're at, and if we need to strengthen that, then we look into the Word. So that's what we're talking about today.
So today we're going to start our series with the breastplate of righteousness. And this signifies protecting one's heart with God's righteousness character, covering one's conscience with God's grace. And I love that we chose the heart first, because you have to have a place for God to reside in, which is His heart. The choice is ours, and the choice should be made in our heart. We have to allow God to come in. And it reminds me of the story of Mary and Martha, how Martha chose to be busy and Mary chose to sit at the feet of God. And when I think about the knock, God knocking, Martha opened up her home, but Mary opened up her heart. She gave God a place to reside in. And, you know, of course, Martha was so upset about that, but it was Mary's choice where she wanted God to be with her. And sitting at His feet and getting everything that she could, that was the right choice, as it should be for us as believers. Are we making the right choice where we place God at?
Yeah. And your heart, you know, whether we're speaking about your physical heart, or we're speaking as like your heart, like we speak of love and all that and care, whichever way you think of it, when thinking about it, it will determine where your priorities are, where you, it is the starting point in which you move in a particular direction. And you can look at that like a heartbeat, like a, there's the term to keep a pulse on something. That means to keep it in check, to gauge it. And if we're thinking from our heart, what is the pulse telling us? I know we go to the doctor, we get our hearts checked, and our pulse can be irregular, which mine is actually. It can be fast, it can be slow, and it just indicates a lot of things. So we got to look at it, whether it is our physical heart or even if it's like our spiritual heart. What are those, what is coming from our heart? What is flowing there? Is it something that's Christ-like and in line with it, with Him and His wants and glorifying Him? Or is it elsewhere? And I will even admit for myself, just as you're giving the example of talking about, her being busy, I know that I frequently busy myself. And when I stop and get a pulse on my heart rate, it's running fast. I mean, quite literally, my heart rate stays elevated. But that's the same with my spiritual heart as well, that I go a little too fast and I pass some things that God just wants me to slow down and to watch. And then the fruit of my labor, sometimes it's not in line with what God's desire is for my life. And I feel the effects of that.
Wow. When you was talking about the regular heartbeat, it reminds me of being in AFib. And the slow heartbeat, which is bradycardia, and the fast is tachycardia. And sometimes we're too slow to be in alignment with God. Sometimes we go before God and pass him, and everything just gets out of order. And I know for myself, seeing you in action, Sam, you're so right, you know. And for myself, we all can be in different fibrillations. Even like you said, using an analogy of our heart, what do we do? What do we take in to cause our heart to be an AFib? That's not in line with the flow of our blood, like you said, our pulse, getting that rapid heartbeat. Are we going too fast, doing things and being out of the will of God that will later give us side effects that we're not needed for that day? Because each day, God's grace and mercy, he helps us sustain our lives. And that heart is essential in our living. It's crucial that we understand how important it is with the matters of our heart.
And sometimes we don't look that deep even to look at the heart. So we leave it exposed, and we have the option. He offers that armor piece that we're speaking about here to protect it. But when, and I'm a victim of it as well, when you're not choosing to have that armor as he has given to equip us, then you're susceptible to all kinds of different pains.
And that's true, Sam. You have a scripture here, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I think about that, you know, we're not going to get condemned for being with God and loving him. He, you know, your heart is in essence is a metaphor of love. And you said, where is it coming from? You know, when we separate ourselves from God, you can truly feel not being loved. When you put yourself in another atmosphere, even when you give yourself to someone, sometimes your heart will be broken. And staying with God, dwelling with him, getting that good exchange of that oxygen to keep our heart pumping, our blood in sync with his, that's a good thing. But when we get contaminated blood, that could do all kind of things, short circuit our minds. You know, you feel empty when you're not loved, and it's a hard thing sometimes for us to trust God because we can't see him. But it's easy for us to just grab on to something that we think we can trust, and in return it breaks our heart. So the matters of the heart is important with God. He wants us to be in alignment. He wants us to get that good exchange every day of right thinking. And he expects us, once we wake up in the morning and we give ourselves to him first, we're totally in alignment with him. But when you get that, what are you going to do with it? Am I going to give everything in my heart over to someone that's undeserving? But what do you call undeserving? Because I always have to go back and check myself, because I was once not giving myself totally to God like I should. But he didn't give up on me, Sam. He did not stop loving me. He did not stop that exchange of that good blood running through my veins that's keeping me alive. Even when I messed up, he still resuscitated me.
Wow. And in this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we may become the righteousness of God." And to think that us who choose not to put on the armor that he offers to us and choose not to speak to him through prayer and choose not to hear from him through his word, and yet, despite all that, he took on our sins and was the perfect sacrifice so that we do have the option to realize that and turn to him, and we continue to disobey him. It really just speaks of his graciousness, his gracious, loving mercy that he offers to us. And that's why it's good to have times like this where we look to his word to see where our heart is and compare it up against the scripture, what where our mind might be and what we're thinking is okay. Is it in line with the scripture? Is it something that would be categorized as one of those sins that he had to take on for us? Or is it something that is glorifying and helping build his kingdom and worshipful to him?
I just looked at that scripture and 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For our sake, for us, he made him to be sin. Can you imagine having a healthy heart and then taking on something that's, you know, that will affect your heart in a different manner? I couldn't even fathom that. But guess what? It's true. Because he took it for me. And to look back, it's like you gave me a chance to have a good heart again. And I got to be a good steward over it, Sam. I got to take care of myself. I got to take care of my thoughts, my action towards others, because he's taking all that heaviness and that sickness away from me. But it's something when, if you ever been had an operation and they take something out of your body, you do feel that void. And there's an adjustment that you have to go through because you still think that you're going to feel that feeling. You know, even when you had surgery, you know, you was cautious in how you bared your weight, thinking that, you know, something's going to happen. But you had to go through therapy to get your healing again. And it's just like God, when he does that exchange, we sometimes convert back to our old ways. And sometimes when you do that, you do get sick. And you could feel it. Actually, sometimes it's worse than it was before.
And that's why in Proverbs 4:23 it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life." So what that looks like, if you are genuinely going to God and you're seeking for him to give you that gift of salvation and you're striving to have a life that reflects him, and if that is genuine, then that spring of life that will display will reflect him. If not, then that's when the, even if you are faking it to the best of your ability, there's no, that flow of spring of life will be evident of what type of life is being shown, what type of life is flowing. You can try to mask it and everything, but first of all, he knows. He knows you're not fooling him.
No.
But second of all, there will not be good that comes and prospers from having a heart like that.
Yeah. I thought about when you said that from out of it flows the springs of life. You ever seen a spring, and even like a water fountain, how it just flows, it just cascades, the water just keep on going. And like you said, when you're faking it, you might get a trickle. As thirsty as you are and wanting that water, you may not have it. You may not have enough to keep you alive. And like you said, we can't fool God, and we shouldn't even try to. And being your authentic self, coming from the author,
mm-hmm.
Because he knows us. And I truly believe, you know, even it's amazing how God will allow you to see things differently, even looking at this scripture, mm-hmm. Proverbs 4:23. God not going to show himself as a fake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when we say, oh, this is from God,
mm-hmm.
everything good comes from above.
Mm-hmm.
Is it coming from above, or if it just really springing out of you?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you will see the fruits of your labor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you work for God truly, guess what? Your blessings will be beyond measures.
Mm-hmm.
Something you never even thought of, he'll give you bigger and better.
Mm-hmm.
Your expectations while serving God should be high, because he is high.
Mm-hmm.
He's above all of this,
mm-hmm.
what we think is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom always said it's good, better, and best.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants the best for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he don't expect us to be perfect,
mm-hmm.
but he expects us to strive for holiness.
Yep.
And because he's holy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it even, when we're talking about the armor here, it describes him wearing this armor. In Isaiah 59:17, it says, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. If God wears his armor and he's offering that up to us, that alone tells you how powerful it is and how much he believes that clothing ourselves with this armor will protect us, will get us through this life that we live and the battles that I was speaking about that we have to go through. He offers the equipment to enable us for the fight that we have to face living in a world that is corrupt.
And I love this scripture because there was an order to how he put on the armor.
Mm-hmm.
And the first, he put on righteousness as a breastplate. And here we are today, starting off with the breastplate of righteousness, our heart. He put on a heart of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and a helmet of salvation on his head. So God is speaking that the heart and the head has to be in alignment. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing. Mm-hmm. That means he put on multiple garments of vengeance for clothing. That means he put on what he knew couldn't penetrate that heart. And that's the outside forces that we deal with. You know, when we see certain things, do we have enough clothing on under that armor, that breastplate? So even if we get a hit, Sam, will it knock us off our feet? Will that hit stop our heart? And it's like, you know, when you're in a soundproof room, the walls are padded so no outside sound can come in. And that's how he expect us to be.
Yep.
He expect us to be fully and totally dressed.
Mm.
And I think about the garments of vengeance. That means if mean coming towards you, it hits the breastplate, what should you give out to counteract that? I think you should show kindness.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it'll hit you like a bulletproof vest. It'll hit you, so what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Not fall or get mad. I think what's coming to you negative, you should have that vengeance, a garment under you to give back the opposite of totally what was given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's grace and mercy. If you want grace, you got to show grace. If you want mercy, you got to show mercy.
Yep. And it is like a bulletproof vest for our soul. It is when we are wearing that full armor, not just wearing it on Sundays, not just wearing it in front of a particular group of people, but wearing it every single day, when you're tempted, when you're down, throughout all seasons of life, through the hills and the valleys, then we are able to withstand the battle that we're placed in. And not only withstand, but we are able to fight, we're able to move forward and just keep on moving forward towards the victory that is at hand at the end, that is ours to claim once we've fought the good fight.
And when you say that, it reminds me of getting used to what you're carrying.
Mm.
You know how you get a pair of shoes,
yep,
and they don't feel comfortable, mm, and you're like ready to take them off.
Yeah.
But that armor protecting our heart, that means even when you want to get mad,
mm,
you can't get mad.
Mm.
This is a daily thing you have to carry. And it's probably more heavier,
mm,
because God wants us. You know how you get something and you can't move in the direction, mm-hmm, that you want to move?
Yeah.
Because he's patterning it towards us.
Mm.
He's making it uncomfortable so we can get comfortable in the uncomfortableness.
Mm.
So when things, like I said, when you're being attacked,
mm,
you know what to do.
Yeah. And when you speak of comfort, I know some people might think that's confusing. Why would he want us to become comfortable in discomfort? Well, it's because we are naturally positioned. We are sinners. And so we're positioned to gravitate towards the world. That's what comfort looks like.
Mm-hmm.
However, that discomfort that we seek is to repent, is to go the other way of our natural gravity as fallen men and women. And so when we seek that and then we get used to that discomfort, we're getting used to the restoration that God intended for us. And that's where we truly will thrive. And I think even when I did have my knee surgery and I had to wear braces and all this stuff, it was super uncomfortable. It was one of the worst things that I had to experience for that amount of time. But there was intention behind it. It had to restructure me. It had to make sure that I was getting back in place and not allowing me to pivot certain ways that would lead to me getting more hurt. And ultimately, it brought healing.
Mm.
And so now I've been restored because I wore the armor that I needed to. And now that I'm on the other side of that, I have healing that I wouldn't have had otherwise if I didn't have that discomfort.
And it also changed your gait.
Mm.
You don't walk like you used to.
Mm.
And guess what? That's a good thing.
Mm.
Because we have to walk upright.
Mm.
Even for the armor to fit us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you lean back, the adjustments may not be right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when you have a buckle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you squeeze in your stomach, the buckle will get tighter, and then you'll be uncomfortable. Once you exhale,
mm-hmm,
it's a whole different feeling.
Yeah.
So it's just like with anything, we have to change the way we feel about something, if it's going to benefit us for the good.
Mm.
You have to change your heart, your heart gate.
Mm.
And speaking of a gate, I think about the chambers in our heart.
Mm.
You know, we have four chambers that's,
yeah,
in our heart. And you opening the gate to let God,
mm,
in and do correction with four of those chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just can't do one.
Yeah.
It has, mm, to be all,
yep,
aspects of our lives,
mm-hmm,
and we let them come in and do that corrective surgery that,
mm-hmm,
he needs to. But you gotta let the doctor in.
That's right. That is right. A question that I have for everyone who's listening, and for ourselves as well, is what's been hitting us in our heart lately? And can we tell, are we wearing the breastplate or are we not? Are we exposed? And that can prompt a lot of deep thought and deep thinking, and I think you should sit down and write that out as a prompt. And I think through that you'll find some convictions, and or you'll find some things that you're doing right, some things that you can improve on, and ultimately that's what we're here. We're striving for, to be more like him and it takes time to sit and reflect and determine these things. And just also recognizing and thanking him for him offering this armor to us, and just knowing that he's going to cover us with that righteousness, and he offers it out. It's just a matter of us taking up that offer.
That was good, Sam. That reminds me of when you think you're having a heart attack, but sometimes it be, you know, gas.
Yeah.
Feeling the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do? Did you eat too fast? Mm-hmm. Did you eat something that didn't agree with you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like us.
Mm-hmm.
What did we do that's not agreeable to rest in our heart?
Yeah.
It can be a wake-up call.
It can. Yeah.
Like 911.
Mm-hmm.
Lord help me, Jesus.
Yep, yep. That's right.
So Ephesians 6:13-14. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Mm. Yep. So let's get that whole armor from top to bottom on. And that's what we'll be speaking through within the next six episodes.
And also, just a reminder, we did these in sessions because we're talking about the breastplate today. Now, we got to get comfortable in wearing that breastplate.
Mm.
You just can't, like you said, it's not a one-day thing.
Mm.
When you're in front of someone and then... when you go to church on Sunday, we got to do it because it is the seeding seed of which our fruit grows from us. So I just want to remind everyone about that.
Okay. Well, let me go ahead and pray us out. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the time that we have here to sit with one another and get to speak on a topic again, Lord. And thank you for the full armor that you offer up to us, Lord. And allow us to have the option to be protected and to walk in your way. Lord, we know that we're placed in a battle every single day, and we know that you also do not leave us there to completely fend for ourselves, but you are there with every step and every battle that we have to take on. And not only are you there, but you equipped us. You offer us these components to put on so that we may be protected, and not only protect ourselves, but also be enabled to speak your life and light into the world, Lord, and so that we may offer the armor to other people as well and witness, Lord, and just tell of the great gifts and ultimately the gift of salvation that you've given to us. And I just thank you for allowing us recognize this, and even something that's I feel like I've known my whole life, not being able to have dive into it as deep as I pray we are through this series, but I pray that we take each one of these pieces and we place them on, and we feel them and allow them to sit right as you intended for it to sit, Lord, and that we use it fully, and that we go out into this battle that is the world that we live in, Lord, and fight the good fight, and so we can be welcomed home, Lord, and into that victory. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. And I just want to make a correction. I shouldn't have said gas. I should have said indigestion. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Ms. Cricket.